Okay, we're on page 1090 in Parshas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Aleph. Okay, the class is in Lili Nishmat, what's her name?
Javaher Bat
Jeiran. Javaher Bat Jeiran, and Aliyah. Okay, the Pasuk says like this. This is a new thing, really. Last time we learned that when the Jews sin, Hashem gets angry at them. And the last thing we discussed was Hanistaris Hashem Elokeinu, the hidden levels are God, Vahanigwais, and the revealed ones are to us. And we explained that there is revealed good, hidden good. Hidden good is even higher than revealed good. It comes from the letters Yud Hei of Hashem's name. And this is Vav Hei of Hashem's name. You leaving?
Yep.
Bye. Okay, so the pasuk says like this: V'ha'yoyin will be ki yavoh alecha, when it will come upon you, kol advanim ha'ela, all these things, habracha v'aklola, the blessing and the curses. So right away the commentary says, how can blessings and curses come at the same time? The pasuk seems to imply when you get all the blessings and curses. So these are blessings or curses? Which one is it? So they explain that first you think you get blessings when people misbehave. They think what they're getting is blessing, and then they find out they're really curses what they got. Like we said many times, those people that win the lottery for the real big money, they curse the day they won it, because it ends up to be a nightmare in their life, and their lives are shattered and torn apart and everything. So it says, Asher nasati lefanecha, that I'm giving it to you. In other words, and again, the Pasuk is saying that whether it's the blessings or the curses, these are what Hashem is giving the people. Vashivesa elavavecha, you should take it to your heart, b'chol agoyim, amongst all the nations, asher idichacha Hashem alakecha shama, that Hashem dispersed you there. Basically, it means like this, when you're going to be in God, the order of the pasuk is like a little out of order. But basically, the concept of it is that when a person will do all these sins, and all these good or bad, when you're amongst the nations of the world, and you should realize that this whole golus that Hashem put you into is not because you just happened to be there. God put you there for a specific reason. Okay? In other words, as we know in history, the Mefarshim explain that when the Jews behave, we get blessings. The Jews misbehave, they get curses. And the Torah says, you should take it to heart what God is doing to you. It's not enough to think it just intellectually, but you should actually feel and realize that when you behave, things end up to be good. When you don't behave, things end up to be bad. But in a deeper sense, it's a vashvesa levavecha means that even the curses, the blessings, no matter what it is, what Hashem is doing to the person is all coming from Hashem. It's all coming from Hashem. The birth, the curses, the blessings, it's unbelievable. It's all coming from Hashem. Okay, the next pasuk is a lot to talk about. Pasuk Beis, page 1090. The pasuk says like this: "Veshafta ad Hashem alakech." So, what happens when you sin? So, all these terrible things are going to happen to you. So, the pasuk says like this: "Veshafta ad Hashem alakech." You should return to God. "Veshamata b'koloi," and you should listen to His voice. Everything I'm commanded to you today. So simply the pasuk is saying, what is this concept of tshuva? Tshuva means listening to the voice of Hashem. Ato v'necho b'chol avachu chol nafshecho, you and your sons with all your heart and all your soul. So the Torah says, when you misbehave, like we learned in the last previous page, when you misbehave, Hashem scattered us out amongst all the nations. When you behave, you get good, the bracha, you don't behave, you get cursed. And he said, therefore, what must you do? You need to return to God with all your heart and all your soul and listen to His voice of everything I'm commanding you today. And you have to do it with all your heart and all your soul. Okay, that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. There's a one grammatical issue over here that sheds a whole new light on this whole concept. You don't return, in Hebrew, the word ad means until. The pasuk says, the shafta ad Hashem alakecha, literally means,
you return until God your God. It doesn't mean to. In the English here it says, return unto Hashem. But the word ad, okay, means until. V'shavta ad Hashem alokecha, you have to return until God. What does that mean? And why does he use both expressions, Hashem alokecha, God your God? Why can't he say v'shavta ad Hashem? Or v'shavta ad alokecha? The same thing we find, there's another pasuk in Novi, that we read it on the Haftarah Shabbos Shuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The pasuk says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem alokecha. The exact same word ad. Shuva Yisrael, Jews do Shuva, ad Hashem alokecha. Literally, until God becomes your God. Now that's a very funny expression. So Chassidus explains, there's a phenomenal concept over here. The Torah is not saying, return to God, your God. Tshuva is much, much deeper than that. There's the name of Hashem, and there's the name of Elohim. Okay? Yes, in davening we say Hashem Hu Elohim, God is God, which obviously doesn't make sense either. Of course, God is God. Who is God is not God. I mean, Hashem Hu Elohim. Yeah, Hashem Hu Elohim. We say at the end of Yom Kippur, right? We scream Hashem Hu Elohim. In the story of Eliyahu Har Carmel, how did they finish the whole story? Everybody screamed Hashem Hu Elohim. I mean, obviously God is God. What is he? God's not God. I mean, like, what does it mean? So there's two names of Hashem. We learned already in the past, the name of Hashem represents the way Hashem is dealing with the world. The way Hashem identifies with the world. We learned many times, you yourself don't need a name. If you're the only one in the world, you don't need a name. Purpose of a name is to be identified by somebody else, to somebody else, right? Like we said many times, if you want to speak Lashon Hara about somebody, you need a name. Nameless Lashon Hara is worthless. If you got a guy goes, you know what somebody did? It's no fun. You have to know who it was. Then it's entertaining. But just to say somebody did something bad without a name is worthless. Okay, the Medrash says, when Moshe Rabbeinu met Hashem at the burning bush. We learned all this already. When Moshe Rabbeinu met Hashem at the burning bush. So the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, Mashma, what's your name? What's your name? He asked Hashem, what's your name? So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shmi Atareita Leida, you want to know my name? Depends what I'm doing. When I'm doing chesed, I'm doing kindness, I'm called Kel. Like the pasuk says, chesed Kel Kolayim. When I do punishment, I'm called Elohim, which is judgment, severity. When I do mercy, I'm called Yudke Vavke. You know, when I fight battles, I'm called Tzvois. When I do this, I'm called Shin Dalad Yud. Whatever the seven names of Hashem represents, the seven attributes that Hashem does. From these seven, there's two fundamental names of Hashem. Like we say a bracha. We say bracha to Hashem, Elokeinu. Right? That's what you say. Anechi Hashem Elokecha. There's two names, Hashem Elokecha. These two names represent the supernatural and the natural. The name of Yudke Vavke, Hashem, is, besides the fact that it means Mahave, creator, that's why it's called Yudke Vavke, it comes with Mahave, which means to create. Now, if you're the creator, by definition, you're above nature, and therefore you're able to create nature. In addition to that, we learned that the word Hoya, Hove V'yihia, which is past, present, and future, is in Yudke Vavke. You have all the Hoya, Hove, and Yihia. Playing around with the letters, you have past, present, and future in one name simultaneously, which represents the level of Hashem above nature, above time, that is past, present, and future together simultaneously. Yeah, this is what it means. So Hashem represents the supernatural of the Jew. What is Elohim? Elohim represents nature. It says in Halacha that when you say Elohim, you have to think it means God is our might and our strength and one that creates us. Meaning, Elohim, the word Elohim, not with the Kuf, the real way of writing it, equals 86, which is the numerical value of the word hateva, the nature. Okay, Elokim represents the natural level of God, the way God functions in the world naturally. What is naturally? What does it mean? Hashem is affecting the world in a natural way. In Hebrew, teva means nature. Teva is nature. Why is teva called nature? So sages tell us because teva comes from the word, as we say in Oz Yashir, to bu'u b'yamsuf, sunken in the sea. Teva means nature, but it also means the level of godliness, which is sunken in the world, meaning you look at the world, you don't see God. Nature, mother nature. Don't say God nature, mother nature. But all the atheists still say mother nature. But because they don't see godliness. So Hashem, the name of Hashem, represents the supernatural level of Hashem. Elokim represents the natural level of Hashem. The Pasuk is telling us, Vishafta, what is the concept of tshuva that you have to do, you have to return? It doesn't mean to God. Then it would say, Le Hashem Alekecha. Right? You have to return to such an extent, ad, until, meaning to such an extent, that Hashem, the supernatural, becomes Elokecha, your nature. You have to do tshuva to such an extent that the Jew realizes, what is my nature? What is the nature of the Jew? The supernatural. That is the realization of Hashem's existence. The realization of Hashem's existence. Everybody knows, according to every single law of nature, the Jews shouldn't be existing today. I mean, we're one nation among 70 wolves that want to eat us up and destroy us and kill us and eradicate us. And the only reason we're here, because we are supernaturally connected to Hashem and we're supernaturally existing in the world. So the Pasuk says like this, when a person does, gets mixed up with the nations, and that Hashem put you into exile because you sinned. So the Pasuk says, you have to come back to Hashem. What is the definition of returning to Hashem? Not le Hashem alekecha, not to Hashem, but v'shavta, you have to come back to such an extent, you have to do tshuva, ad, until Hashem Elokecha. God, the supernatural, becomes your nature. That means in the nature you feel godliness. That's called the connection with Hashem. Then, v'shamata b'keli, then you'll be able to listen to the voice of Hashem, because once you realize that your life is really God, the supernatural, chol asha'anechim etzav chayim, everything I'm going to command you today. Now, the question is, he didn't command us today. He commanded us 3,500 years ago. So again, it's the same point. When your nature becomes supernatural, meaning when you feel in time and place, which is nature, the above time and place, so then God's commanding it today. Because Torah mitzvahs, as we say in Davening, Asher Neichim Mitzav Chayim, every day God is commanding. Every day it's new. It's 3,500 years old. How new is it? The answer is, that's only in the realm of time. It's old. But if you're above time, then it's not old. Then it's present. It's new. It's existing and constantly. And out of anach, you and your children, b'chol levachu, b'chol nafshech, with all your heart and all your soul. So the Pasuk is teaching us how to do tshuva and to what extent the person needs to do tshuva. That they feel actually that the nature is God. And by the way, that's what it means when we say Hashem Hu Elokim. It doesn't mean God is God. God is God. Hashem Hu Elokim, what we're basically saying is, what is the Elokim? What is the nature of the Jew? Hashem Hu Elokim. The supernatural is the nature of the Jew. Jews have lived their nature supernaturally. And that's the whole concept of Hashem Elokecha, and Shemata B'Kele, and you have to do everything to serve Him with all your heart and soul. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. There's another very interesting pasuk. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Ashvuscha. Then when you do tshuva, Hashem will return your captivity, v'richamecha, and He will have mercy upon you. I'm just reading simply, no more explain it. V'shav will return, v'kibeshu mikol ha'amim, He'll return you from all the gathering of the nations, asher fitcha Hashem Elokecha shama, that God spread us out all around the world. Okay? So what's the pasuk saying? That when you do tshuva, then v'shav Hashem Elokecha shvuscha, God will return back all the Jews from Golus. Why are the Jews in Golus? We say, page 1090, in the middle of the page. What do we say in davening, on the Chag? We're in Golus, in exile because of our sins. Right? It's like a spring. We're in exile because we sinned. Yeah, the second the sins are over, we immediately go back. And that's what the Gemara says, a very interesting expression. The Talmud says, any generation that doesn't rebuild the temple is considered as if they destroyed it. Why? You know, it's very simple. Because the reason the temple was destroyed, the reason we went into exile, because of our sins. The second the sins are over, so we go back. That means we'd have a temple. So why isn't there any temple? Because of our sins. So it's like we're destroying the temple. Why was the temple destroyed? Because of our sins. So when we go back, if we don't go back, so then it's like we sinned. So then, because we sinned, therefore there's no temple either. There's no Beis HaMikdash either. But the Gemara learns out another phenomenal concept over here. It says, Rashi says, it should have said, Veheshiv Eshvuscha. In Hebrew grammar, Veheshiv means if God wants to say He's going to return us back to Israel, the pasuk should have said Veheshiv Eshvuscha. He will return your exiled people. Veshav Hashem means God is going to return from exile. Rashi quotes in the Medrash the famous thing. Rabbi Seni says, "Shashchina shruya im Yisrael b'tzores golusim." When the Jews are in Golus, when the Jews are in exile, God is in exile with us. When the Jews go out of Golus, God goes out of Golus with us. So the pasuk is teaching us not that only that God is going to return us out of Golus when we do tshuva and He'll take us back to Eretz Yisrael. What the pasuk is saying, Veshav Hashem, God is going to be going back with us from Golus because we put God in exile and we will take Him out of exile. Now what does that mean? God doesn't need us. He couldn't care. Well, He does because He wants to. But what control do we have over Hashem that we put Him into exile and we take Him out of exile? Who are we already to do anything to Hashem? So,
could it be the time of Holocaust that we were in exile and God was in exile too?
Not only the Holocaust, right now we're in exile. And God is with us in exile.
In a severe case of
it. In a severe case of exile, God is with us the entire time. Mm-hmm. What?
I want to ask a very deep question.
How deep? 10 feet? 20 feet?
Okay, it says that Abraham Avinu was given the choice of the first children, Galus or Gehenna.
Correct.
He chose Galus.
Correct.
But in a sense, we just said that Galus is, Hashem is in Galus with us.
Correct.
When a person goes to Gehenna, is God in Gehenna with them? I mean, it's so to speak, I mean, God is everywhere, but I'm saying.
No, it's
just kind of a deep question. I don't
know. He asked the question, if God is with us in Golus, is God with us in Gehenna also? In hell? Well, if God's looking for company, He's definitely going to be in hell, because nobody's in Gehenna Eden. You know? Like they say, if you go for the weather, you go to Gehenna Eden. If you go for the company, you go to Gehenna. They tell the story, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Gan Eden, and nobody was around there. Anyway, so Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're hungry, take some food from the refrigerator, then make yourself at home. So Hashem leaves, and Moshe Rabbeinu is there himself in Gan Eden, and he looks down, he sees in Gehenim, there's a whole feast going on there. There's barbecue, ribs, and unbelievable food going on in Gehenim. And there's a big crowd with delicious meal going on. So afterwards, Hashem comes back. Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, God, I don't understand. Here in Gan Eden, there's no food. And look at what's going on in Gan Eden. I mean, Gehenim, there's full of food. Hashem says, here there's nobody to cook for. What does it mean? Let's understand, what does it mean Hashem is in Golos? I mean, God does what he wants. Right? What do you mean Hashem is in Golos? He has to be in exile. Definition of exile, by the way, and this is a very important concept to understand this pasuk. Exile means you are not in control over yourself. What is it? Jail, right? Jail means somebody else is controlling you. If you are in control, then you're not in jail. Like Golos, exile means other nations are controlling you. If you have control, then you're not in Golos. Correct? Because a Jew is so connected to Hashem because of our neshama, Hashem said, what you guys do, not only does it affect you, but it affects me. Okay? So therefore, it's like the Alter Rebbe explains in Geres HaTshuva. The Pasuk says, Yaakov Chevel Nachalosi. Yaakov is the rope of God's inheritance. Okay? So there's a rope connecting the Jew and Hashem. And the rope is composed, like a rope is a thick thing composed of many thin strands. So the rope that connects the Jew and Hashem is a rope composed of 613 little strands. But now it's a thick rope. Okay? This is what connects the Jew and Hashem. When the Jew goes down, because the rope is connected higher, you drag down with you, you schlep down with you, the top of the rope too. Right? So when a Jew goes down into Golos, what they're actually doing is dragging God down into exile with them. Now, obviously, God can still be in control wherever he wants. He's God. When nobody controls God. But Hashem set it up in a way, that when you go into Golos, I become dysfunctional because of you. That means, like we spoke Shabbos afternoon with Fabeng, we were saying that Golos is like sleeping. When you sleep, you have crazy things, and the up is down, and down is up, and topsy-turvy, and nothing makes sense, right? You can dream crazy things. Golos is when the people that are supposed to be on top end up being at the bottom. People on the bottom are supposed to be at the bottom or on top. The evil prosper, the evil control, the evil, all that stuff, right? So what happens in Golos? Hashem said, when you sin, you are forcing me, to become controlled by forces I don't want to be controlled by. But that's the power of the Jew. The power of the Jew is, they bring down God into Golos. Who gave us that power? Hashem did. Not that it had to be that way. Hashem said, I set up the world in a way, you go into Golos, I go with you. Imei Anechi Bitzara, the Pasuk says, I am with you. Rashi says in Chumash, why did Hashem reveal himself to Moshe in a thorn bush, not in a beautiful garden? Why did Hashem come into a thorn bush? Because Hashem said, when the Jews are in exile, I'm in a thorn bush. Which is the least beautiful of all trees is the thorn bush. It hurts, it's prickly, it's no good. That's where Hashem reveals us. Hashem says, you guys go into Golos, you're taking me with you. Meaning, Hashem said, Kaviyachol, I don't control. So when the Jews go out of Golos, when they do tshuva, and they repent, and they return, and they go out of Golos, the pasuk here says, V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvuscha. God is going to be coming out of Golos together with the Jews. That is the power we have. So we can make it or break it. We can bring Hashem into exile, and we can take Hashem out of exile. And that's the power of the Jew. What?
Another interesting thing is that Avraham Avinu, when Hashem told him your children are going to be in exile,
right?
Well, I mean, I understand that because we became like assimilated and everything in Egyptian life and everything, that pretty much may have caused the exile. But he told Avraham Avinu that years before.
Hashem told him what's going to happen. Not that he caused it to happen. Hashem said the Jews are going to sin, and this is what's going to happen to them.
But why does the commentator say that? It's because the Avraham Avinu questioned Hashem. Some of them say. He questioned Hashem.
Okay. So Hashem is going to go back. V'shavi kibetcha mikol ha'amim. He's going to gather us from all the nations. Asher fitcha Hashem alokach hashama, that God scattered you in all those parts of the world. He says, even if your Jews golus will be dispersed to the end of the heavens, mishami kabetcha Hashem alokach, from there Hashem will gather them, and mishami kochecha, take the Jews out of golus. Meaning, no matter how far out the Jews are in exile, Hashem says, I'm going to bring them back. From wherever they are, the other ends of the heaven, I'm going to bring them back. It says, Eliyahu Navi is going to bring them back to Golus, back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. But another interesting thing, the Mefarshim say over here, this whole pasuk is written in Lashon Yachid. It's singular, not plural. Hefitzcha, Hashem lekach Hashama, Misham ikabetzcha. Okay, Hashem is going to, every Jew has this unbelievable power of making it or breaking it, whether the Jew going to Golus or not into Golus and so on. Ve'aviyach Hashem lekach, and Hashem will bring you. The land that your forefathers have possessed. V'yirishton, you will possess it, you will inherit the land. V'yitivcha, v'hirbecha, me'avasecha, it will do good to you and make you more than even your forefathers had. The Jews came down to Egypt in 70, they went out 3 million. Right? So it says, when you go back, Hashem is going to inherit the land, and you're going to even be greater than your forefathers will. Okay, next pasuk is another interesting pasuk. Umal Hashem alakachas levavcha, Hashem will circumcise your heart, ves levav zarecha, and the heart of your children, leyavas Hashem alakacha, to love God, v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, with all your heart and all your soul, leman chayacha, that you should live. Okay, so it's interesting. Here the pasuk says God is going to circumcise your heart. Another pasuk says, "As arlas levavchem," the foreskin of your heart. Normally, what's bris? Bris mila is when you cut off the foreskin. There's what's called arlas halev. Arlas Halev means the covering of the heart. Here Hashem is saying, not only am I going to circumcise your foreskin, I'm actually going to circumcise your actual heart. What does that mean? It means like this. When the heart is covered, okay, obviously you can't do a bris milah on a heart. Okay, obviously. But there is a covering of the heart that doesn't let certain things happen. Hashem created a person that by nature, the intellect stimulates the feelings. By nature, seichel, intellect, reveals midas, stimulates feelings. If you meditate into how great something is, it's going to awaken a love to it, or a fear to it, an awe of it, depending how what you're meditating. Seichel by nature stimulates feelings. Like we know. Babies, because they're immature, they like little toys. Bigger babies like bigger toys. Right? Because your seichel is more mature, so therefore you like more mature things, supposedly. What happens, though, if people meditate into greatness of Hashem? You know, they meditate, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They think about the greatness of God, and they meditate into it, and they really work on it. And yet, it doesn't stimulate a love. It's supposed to stimulate, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, that you should love God. But what happens? You meditate, you work on it intellectually, but nothing happens. It doesn't happen. So what goes on? So the Chassidus explains, what's the problem? There's a blockage. There's a blockage that's not letting the intellect of the heart, of the mind, affect the midas of the heart, the feelings of the heart. Sometimes that could be what's called the throat. You have the intellect in the head, the feelings in the heart. Normally it's supposed to be piped from the intellect to the heart. Sometimes it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because there's the narrowness of the throat, what's called meitzar hagorein, the narrowness of the throat, that doesn't allow godliness of the head to stimulate the heart. Who is this, in a spiritual sense, who is this neck that doesn't let you do it? It's called parei. Parei, because the back of the neck is called ha'oref, the back of the neck, amche oref, right? Ha'oref. And ha'oref is the same letters as parei. So parei, the klipa of Egypt, doesn't allow always the intellect to become stimulating the heart. But then there's another thing. Sometimes the pipes are clear. But by the time it gets to the heart, like it says in the pasuk, the expression, Vasireisi es leva even mikir bechem, sometimes a person has a heart of stone. A person has a heart of stone. What happens when you pour water on a stone? It just flows off. It doesn't penetrate the rock. It just flows off the rock. Sometimes a person can have a heart that's like a stone. It's like a rock. There's no feeling. There's no, it's inanimate. It's like a diamond, a stone. No feeling, no nothing. Sometimes a person can have a heart that's like a stone, like a rock. And because of that, even though the intellect, so to speak, is pouring onto the heart, but instead of penetrating it, it just bounces it off. So you don't have the feeling of the heart. So what needs to be done? You need to circumcise the heart. What does it mean, circumcise the heart? Cut off the blockage. Cut off the covering of the heart. Remove this, as the pasuk says, Vasireisi, Hashem says in another place, Vasireisi eslev ha'even. Hashem's going to remove this heart of stone from you. And that's what the pasuk says. When a person does tshuva, okay, and you're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to wake up, and you're going to want to be connected, then God will circumcise. God will do it, not us. God will circumcise our heart that we are able to then, the intellect of godliness can penetrate our heart in a way, like he says, li'ahavas Hashem Elokecha, that then we'll be able to love God. The blockage of the heart needs to be removed. So when Hashem sees that we try, and we're doing tshuva, and we're doing everything we can, so Hashem says, Umal Hashem Elokecha eslevavcha veslevav zarecha. And by the way, this is a well-known thing. In this pasuk is one of the acronyms of Elul, because you look in the pasuk, es levavcha, the es levav is a Rosh Tevis Elul, right? Es levavcha, aleph lamed, the es levav is vav lamed, is again Elul, right? The Rosh Tevis Elul. And therefore, that's one of the acronyms for Elul. That means you have to do tshuva. What's the tshuva? That God circumcises our heart, which means now were able to feel the feelings that the intellect gives into the heart, that the heart becomes actually a soft heart, and we can feel it. And then we can come to love God and feel Him with all our heart and all our soul. As long as the heart is stone, yeah, or the heart is not close to God, there's no way we can understand godliness or feel godliness. We can never understand or feel godliness because all that's happening is it's bouncing off. If the heart is hard, like a rock, whatever the intellect, whatever we're learning and thinking, it just bounces off and it doesn't penetrate. The ultimate goal is not only to know, but the ultimate goal is to feel. Because when you feel something, then you do it properly. If you don't feel it, you do it because it's called intellect. And that's what the Pasuk is saying. Hashem will circumcise the heart, meaning Hashem will clear up the heart to be able to that the godliness should be able to permeate it. Okay? And La'avas Hashem al-kach b'chol levavach al-nashcha ma'chayach that you should be able to live. Okay, this is what it says. V'nasan Hashem al-kach, then what's going to happen? After the person does tshuva, and they're reconnected with Hashem, so what's God going to do with all the curses? He's going to give it to the enemies that made the Jews suffer during the time of exile. The Gemara tells a story when one of the Roman generals came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the second temple. So they told him, the kid called it a pasuk to him, and he said, God is going to take revenge from those that destroy my temple. So the guy heard it, this Roman emperor, Roman general. He said, when he heard it, he says, I understand, God wants me to do his dirty work to destroy the temple, and then he's going to punish me for it? No way. He went and converted and became a Jew. And Rav Meir came out from him. He said, what do I should do, God? But that's what's going to happen, the Pasuk says. V'nasar Hashem alakecha, then what's God going to do? As kol ha'ele se'ele, he's going to take all these punishments, yeah? And Ali Vachavai Senecha is going to give it to your enemies and your also enemies, okay? And those who hate you, Ali Vachavai is the one that hate you, Senecha is your enemies, Asher Durafucha that chased you. Now Hashem is going to punish the Goyim that made the Jews suffer while the Jews were in Golas for the sins that they did. Va'at Toshuv, and you're going to return. V'shamate b'kol Hashem alakecha, you're going to listen to the voice of Hashem. V'asisiko mitzvesav, and you're going to do His mitzvahs. Asher anechi mitzavcha ayim, that I'm commanding you today. So this is the upside of all the downsides before, of all the curses that come on Jews when the Jews sin and everything happens to them. This is the upside that eventually Hashem promises us, and this is the good side of it. Hashem promises us, you are definitely going to do tshuva. The Jews are going to repent. They're going to come back to God. They're going to become connected to Hashem. Hashem will help us and circumcise our heart that we should be able to allow in all these godliness into the way to feel it and love God with all your heart and soul. And then all the enemies are going to be punished for what they did. This is what we're going to get from all this. V'yisicha ki pasik tes. V'yisicha Hashem alakecha, Hashem is going to make an abundance for you. V'chol ma'aseh yadecha, in everything that you do. Now you have a tremendous blessing in everything that you do. But by the way, here's another interesting thing here. God will only give you a blessing if you make a vessel. He's mentioned many times in this story. A guy once went to a great rabbi and asked a bracha to win the lottery. But he didn't. So he came back to the rabbi and said, I didn't win the lottery. The rabbi said, did you buy a ticket? He said, no. He said, how do you expect to win the lottery if you didn't buy the ticket? I give a blessing to win the lottery, but you got to buy a ticket. You know, or there's a story with the Tzemach Tzedek. Somebody else came to the Tzemach Tzedek, asked him for a blessing, and it didn't work. So he came back to the Tzemach Tzedek, maybe he wanted a refund, I don't know. He said, it didn't work. So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, it's a very important thing. He says, for a farmer, the biggest blessing is rain. For a farmer, when planting, the biggest blessing is rain. But rain can only be a blessing if you plowed the field, you planted the field, you cultivated the field. You did things in the field, so then rain is for the a bracha for the farmer. You're going to lay in bed a whole day and do nothing to the land, and it rains, that's not going to be a blessing. Nothing's going to happen from it. If you don't do something, it's not going to happen. So that's what he's saying. It has to be, Ve'yisir Hashem Elokecha, Hashem will give you an abundance, B'chol Ma'asei Yadecha. Okay? It says, or another pasuk, Ve'yirachu Hashem Elokecha, Hashem will bless you, B'chol Asher Ta'aseh, in anything you do. You need to make a vessel. You make a vessel, then you get the blessing. You don't make a vessel, nothing happens. And where is this blessing going to be? Okay, b'fri vitnecha, in the fruits of your stomach, meaning your children, b'fri vehemtecha, the fruits of your animals, fri admascha, the fruit of your land, is going to be l'teva, for good. In other words, there'll be a blessing in everything that you have. And he says, ki yashiv Hashem, because Hashem will do, losa salecha l'tev, to rejoice over you for good, just like he rejoiced over your forefathers. In other words, here the pasuk is saying that Hashem will rejoice when we have it good. When Jews don't have it good, Hashem is suffering together with us. He's in galus with us. So Hashem is literally suffering with us. And then when we, not him, when we take ourselves out of galus, we take Hashem out of galus, and then Hashem gives us all the brachas, all the abundance, because we're listening to what He wants us to do. We're making the vessel. So then He says Hashem is going to rejoice by everything that you're doing. He's going to be happy that He's able to give us all those things. And the bracha is going to be greater than the bracha that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov got. It's going to be a greater blessing than even the forefathers had. Because they didn't live through the same difficulties that the Jews lived. In Egypt, wherever it was, in Golus, all these things didn't exist. Okay. Kisishma, when will this be? Kisishma, when you will listen. Bekel Hashem Elokecha, the voice of Hashem. Lishma mitzvesa v'chukesa, to keep His mitzvahs and His statutes. Haksuva basefa teira azeh, which is written in this book of the Torah, meaning all the mitzvahs of the Torah. When will this be? Kisashuv al Hashem Elokecha, when you return to God, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, with all your heart and soul. Meaning like this. If you return haphazardly, in other words, you're not doing it properly, just to do it to fulfill my obligation. So then the Gemara uses the expression that's like you immersing in a mikveh with a dead bug in your hand. Tevel v'shedetz b'yodei. If you're teveling with a bug in your hand, you're not going to get pure. And as Hashem says, when you're doing it, it has to be with all your heart and all your soul. Hashem says, don't give me 50-50 or 60-40. It has to be chol levavcha, chol nafshecha. I want every part of you, all your heart and all your soul. And it's interesting, the commentators explain, Hashem doesn't want that we give ourselves over 24-7. I mean, Hashem says, listen, you can eat, you could sleep, you could do business, you could do everything. Yep. All I do ask, give me a little bit every day, but what you give me completely. Don't give me half-half, you know? I don't, as Jim says, I don't want a lot. You know, a few minutes here, a few minutes there. But whatever you give it to me completely. That's all I'm asking. Don't do it because, as the Gemara has an expression, mitzvahs anoshim ulumoda, because it's my habit. You know, okay, let's knock off davening. Let's finish the davening. Let's go, let's get out of here already, you know. Oh, b'chal, we do, okay, when's it over? You know? Hashem says, what you do, just do completely. I don't want everything from you. You know, even tzedakah, right? Hashem says, I don't want all your money. I want 10%. Hashem says, give me 10% for tzedakah, yeah? But what you give me, give me. You know, don't give me half, you know. What you're giving me, I want done properly. That's what Hashem, any mitzvah like that. And that's what he says. When you listen to the voice, when though, ki soshiv al Hashem alokecha, when you will return to God, b'chol levavcha u'chol nafshecha, with all your heart and soul. I only want what you do to mean it. I don't give me half stuff, you know. Okay. Next. Ki ha-mitzvah hazeis, Kitab 1092. Ki ha-mitzvah hazeis, this mitzvah, okay, asher anechi mitzavcha hayem, that I'm commanding you today. I'm going to read a few psukim and then we can explain this. There's a lot that we're not going to finish tonight. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, and we'll soon see later on what this mitzvah is exactly that Hashem is commanding. Okay? But he says like this. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, it's not hidden from you. It's not distant. I'm going to read a few psukim. It's one thing. It's not in the heavens. That means Torah mitzvahs I'm giving you is not up in the heavens. That who's going to ascend to the heaven to take it for us? That we should be able to listen to it and do it. It's not across the sea. To say, who's going to cross the sea? To get it and we're going to listen. It's not that. God says the mitzvah that I'm giving you today is not in the heavens, it's not across the oceans, it's not who knows where. The pasuk concludes, Ki karev elecha adav ma'id, it's extremely close. Not only karev, adav ma'id, it's extremely close, beficha ubovavcha la'aseisi, in your mouth and in your heart to do, which basically is explained as thought, speech, and action. Beficha is speech, ubovavcha is in your heart, meaning thought, La'aseisi, to do. So Hashem is saying, Torah is not in the heavens, because Rashi says, interesting, because if it would be in the heavens, you'd have to go up there and get it. If it would be me'eva le'yam, or like the Gemara says, Torah cannot be given to people that travel overseas. You know, it's not on me today with the plane. They used to go by boat overseas, it took them 6 months, and they weren't able to learn properly and do mitzvahs properly, you know, because of it. So the Torah says, that's the simple. It's very close and easy for a person to do Torah mitzvahs. By the way, this expression over here, lei b'shemayim hi, the Gemara, besides the deeper meaning that we're going to get to later, probably not today, lei b'shemayim hi, the Gemara says, Torah is not in heaven, meaning the heavenly spheres cannot make halachic rulings in Torah. Okay, they cannot, lo b'shemayimi. Once Torah was given, when Hashem gave the Torah in Shavuos, Matan Torah, the Torah is down here in the earthly court. The Gemara tells a story, a famous story in the Gemara. Two rabbis were arguing about halacha. Got into a really big fight about a certain oven, if it's tamei, not tamei. So, one of the rabbis said, if I'm right, let the river change its course. So instead of flowing this way, the river went the opposite way. The other rabbi said, I'm unimpressed. He said, okay, if I'm right, let the wall of the yeshiva cave in. So the Talmud says the wall caved in 50% of the way out of respect to the other rabbi. Finally he said, if I'm right, let a voice come out from heaven and say I'm right. So a voice came out from heaven and said he was right. And the other rabbi said, it doesn't mean a thing to me. Lo bashamayim hi, Torah, after the Torah was given, Torah is not decided in heaven. God gave the right of the decision of Torah halacha to the earthly Bezdin. To the extent that Gemara tells a story, there's an argument between God and learning. God is in yeshiva, and he said, who's going to make the decision? God was arguing, whatever that means, that's what it means, but God was arguing with his yeshiva and learning. Okay? And they said, who's going to make the decision? Rabba Banachmeni, the great sage Rabba, because he's great, and he ruled differently, and Hashem said, Natschune Bane Natschune. My children were victorious over me. Because Torah, Lobash, and they learned that from these three words. Lobashamayim hi, Torah is not allowed to be dictated in heaven. Until Matan Torah, yes, once the Torah was given down to earth, the earthly courts make the decisions of every aspect of Torah, not the heavenly courts. In fact, the Gemara says that before Rosh Hashanah, you know, Rosh Hashanah is a very busy time up in heaven. They have to judge everybody, and the prophet, the Satan is coming, and the good angels are coming. There's a whole thing going. It's a very busy season up there. So, it says the angels all come to God. You know, the good ones, the bad ones. They say, God, when's Rosh Hashanah? You know, when's the season? So Hashem said to them, I don't know, whenever the earthly court makes Rosh Hashanah, that's when we'll come and do business. It's not up to me. God said, I have no idea. Whenever the earthly Bezdin proclaims, they didn't have calendars in those days. The earthly Bezdin proclaims which day is Rosh Chodesh. That's the day Rosh Hashanah is. It's the first day of the month. And that's the day we're going to come and deal with all the situations. I don't know. God said, it has nothing to do with me. Torah is not in heaven. Why isn't Torah in heaven? Because the reality and the uniqueness of Torah is only in the physical world. You know, it's an interesting question. It says in Kabbalah that, you know, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so Beis Hillel were most of the time lenient, and Beis Shammai were most of the time strict. Usually in Halacha, Beis Hillel was lenient, Beis Shammai was strict. Once in a while it changed because each one was part of the other. So it says in Kabbalah that why is Beis Hillel lenient? Why is the school of Hillel lenient? So it says because Hillel's souls, their neshamas, came from chesed. And because their souls came from kindness, so they rule lenient. Beis Shammai's souls came from gvura, from severity, from strictness, so therefore they rule stricter. That's what it says in Kabbalah. So the commentaries ask, but if Torah is not in heaven, Torah has to be down here. So how can Beis Hillel rule because their souls up there come from Chesed and Shammai comes from Gvura? Then they're ruling based on heavenly things and the Torah is not in heaven. Torah is down here. And the answer is, no. Yes, their souls come from Chesed, from kindness. But that only leads their brain, the physical brain, to understand that it's allowed. Their neshama led the physical brain of Beis Shammai to make sure it's stricter. But it's not their ruling because their neshama came from chesed, and their neshama came from gvura, from strictness and severity, or kindness, and therefore they ruled. Because then the Torah would be in heaven again. They're ruling it because this is what Hashem says, the physical mind, the physical body, makes the rulings in Torah. Because Torah says, Torah is not in Gan Eden. The souls in Gan Eden don't keep Torah mitzvahs. Only a soul in a body keeps Torah mitzvahs. Because that's where Torah mitzvahs is supposed to be. And if Torah mitzvahs is supposed to be in the physical body, the jurisdiction and the control of Torah is only a soul in a physical body. A soul that departed from the world already cannot make a halachic ruling. It can't. Only a soul that's alive in the body can make a halachic ruling.
What?
Right. When a person is learning Torah and they come home with a chiddush, is that from Shemayim or is that from their own brain?
Who lets you think? God lets you think, but you're thinking. God gives you the ability to think, but the bottom line is you're thinking. The question is more. I'm going to paraphrase your question to make it a stronger question. The Gemara says, any new, listen to this, kol mashe tamad vasik osid l'chadesh, any new brainstorm that a good, proper student has, was already given to Moshe at Sinai. That's a contradictory statement. It says, whatever new thing you're going to have was already given. If it's new, how could it be given? And if it was given, how could it be new? Mercy, kol mashe talmid vasik, osid l'chadish, kvar nitna l'moshe m'sinai. It was already given to Moshe at Sinai. Then it's not a chiddush. Right? So the Gula many times, in one sentence, instead of an hour, it basically means the newness that you got is an application of a different generalization that you just took the generalization and made it into a detail. You applied it to a detail, but generalization already existed. Your chiddush is not the whole thing because the general rule applied already. You're just applying the detail from the rule. And therefore it's your brainstorm, but it's really, you know, God gives us the ability to think. But I had a choice to use my brain or not to use it. You know, they say a brain is one of the few things that the more you use it, the better it gets. Most things, the more you use it, the older it gets. A brain, the more you use it, the better it gets. So Hashem gives us the ability to think. But who chose to think? That I chose to think. So therefore, when I learn something, it's my learning. And therefore, by the way, there's an interesting halacha. A Talmud Chacham, a scholar, can forgive his kavod. Meichel al kavode, right? Why? It's not his Torah, it's God's Torah. But when he learns it, it becomes his Torah. It becomes Torah's Cha, your Torah. So it actually becomes our part of Torah, and therefore, if it's mine, I can give it up.